Hi, and welcome to another episode of Empire Building. Today, we're going to talk about that it's never too late. I'm Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Wendy Papazian.
I'm Seychelle Vanpool. And we have a very special guest with us here today.
Very.
Yes.
Very.
We have the amazing Sarita Dua. She's a woman of the world. She has traveled globally all over the world. She has a fantastic business that is not only a really strong business in real estate in Portland, Oregon, but it's also highly profitable and growing and flourishing. She also happens to be finishing up her MBA.
At MIT.
At MIT, no big deal. Also, you know, it happens to be dual coasts, which doesn't provide any challenges at all,
I would imagine. And word on the streets is she's selling the Ritz.
Yes, she is also representing exclusively the Ritz in Portland. It's first foray into Portland. She has two amazing children, and she also has a fantastic husband, Bhupesh. So, Sarita, welcome.
Welcome. Anything we missed?
No, I think you're great.
So, we were talking earlier before coming on the podcast where you have this really unique story that I think is very relevant to a lot of people. And that is, we were having the conversation around it's never too late. Mm-hmm. It's never too late to live your best life. And you have gone through this beautiful transformation in the past couple of years that's been, as friends, really fantastic to watch and get to witness. And so we would love to have you join us today to talk about how we did that, what you went through, and where you are today versus where you were before. So let's unpack a little bit and go back to age 49.
Okay.
And you're very, you know, not very long ago. And you were highly successful in business. This is not like you were not incredibly successful in your business. And what questions did you start asking?
You know, it's a great question. It like you don't really know that things could change until you kind of it hits you over the head, right? Age 49. I just turned 50 this year. So last year, things were kind of flying high, right? I had a great business, very profitable. You mentioned we travel extensively. My family went through a transition. We just we're preparing to be empty nesters. So like kind of all was good. And when all is good, you start ignoring a few of the little flags.
Mm. Like what kind of flags?
One of the flags was as my production went up, my weight would go up. So health was, you know, I'd be juggling a lot of balls in the air. And the one that always dropped would be myself and my health. You know, we've all been there, right? You're going to meet the contractor at noon. And next thing you know, you're having Taco Bell at 3 p.m. because the salad that you had planned to eat goes out the window and you're on standby all day.
So, and you're running.
So health was one thing. The other thing I was realizing is I was not taking a lot of risks. I was kind of hitting these fastballs that were just right down the plate, right down the middle. I would catch myself kind of driving to a listing appointment and not even prepping and kind of getting it. And I would be so proud of like, wow, I've got a pretty good track record. It's like, wait a minute. If you have a great track record, you're actually not swinging for the fences and you're not swinging for the curveballs.
Okay, wait, that's a huge takeaway right there. So if you're too comfortable, that actually means you're not growing enough.
Exactly. You're not taking risks.
Wow.
So you were in your comfort zone.
You're totally comfortable.
Yeah.
The other thing is I realized, and maybe it was the sort of, we're calling it a beautiful transformation. I'm calling it a midlife crisis, but it might have also just been this, I missed learning. I was coming here to Austin quite a bit. I was reading about machine learning and AI, and I was realizing that there's a whole bunch of stuff I don't know much about. I would read book after book, and it would make me want it. Like instead of answering questions, I would ask more. And I really do believe like my parents, this came from kind of the way I was raised, like we're a learning-based family. Like the minute you stop learning, you really do start growing and you start dying. Stop growing and you start dying. And you really have to keep pushing yourself to learn. And I was realizing that I was on autopilot.
And so was there an aha moment for you? Or was it just sort of a gradual dawning?
I guess, again, you're right. I mean, my before here is, you know, loving my family, traveling a lot, learning that I wanted to learn more. I did have it was a car accident, which was a big aha because I literally like caught myself looking at the situation and what could have happened. And I felt like it was a do-over for me. So that was a big part of, and the other thing, guys, self-care, it's work, like going to the chiropractor or going to get massages. Like I believe a massage is your birthday.
Yes.
Or Valentine's Day gift certificate.
I think a lot of people do.
It's like a treat. It feels very decadent to go, but really it's like maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's something we should be doing for ourselves to be stay in alignment. And so it took well,
especially
like
as a leader of an organization, yes. especially as an empire builder, you know, yeah. you have a responsibility for a lot of people. And you know, we only get one vessel.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, and they talk about that oxygen mask saying, right? Put on your mask first before helping others. And I just sort of smirked and thought like, that doesn't apply to me and I can be Wonder Woman. I literally was proud of the phrase, like I'll sleep when I die. And like, I was
proud of being a workaholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I track everything, including my sleep. And like, I know like sleep is so important. Yeah. It's like where we recharge, right? And it's, you have to really change the way you look at things.
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, I've known you for a long time. We've mm-hmm. known each other, but we haven't really been close, mm-hmm. really just the last couple years, right. really. And it's been an honor to get to know you.
I feel the same way.
But I remember we were out at your beach house for our Five Dolls Network. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that don't know, out there in podcast world, we'll probably be talking about it quite a bit. But it's our mastermind group of amazing business owners. And we were out at your beach house. Mm-hmm. And I remember I can't remember if you showed up or what, but you had gained so much weight.
I can gain weight like you had an Olympic world record holder.
And you had a Starbucks
big frappuccino
with all the whipped cream
calories.
And everything mm-hmm. in there. Yeah. And I got so worried for you. And I was so worried for you in that moment.
And
I
that
really
accident
was.
Had happened just a couple of weeks before that.
No, and you're right. Like you don't, you know, and I love you for saying that because you said something. And I mean, right, when we care about people, like sometimes we don't say the hard stuff because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. But like that's when you really do need that care and candor. And like, I was kind of flying high and I'll just deal with it. Yeah. And next thing you know, you look up and you're like, you know, you weigh the most you've ever weighed and you're just basically squeaking by, mm-hmm. you know, and you're just not happy with it. It was my life. I didn't control anything. It just had control of me. Mm-hmm. And I knew things had to change.
Yeah. My life. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't have control of anything. My life just had control of
me. And isn't it amazing when you're building an empire, building a business, following these moments of really living your best life, right? And I just think about what an inspiration you've been to so many because you made some choices to focus on your health, me being one of them, right? Yeah. And just watching you over the last year turn that and focus. And in the beginning of the year, I was like, well, if Sarita can do it, I know I can do it too. And just inspiring me and inspiring so many because you said yes to your best life and it's never too late, right? You showed the world that it's never too late.
And tell us exactly what your weight loss journey went because a lot of people don't know.
Well, I think just to build up that was like, if I didn't want to go there, I could have ignored it, right? Yes. I had in 2017, close to $80 million in production, mm-hmm. 2.1 GCI, 62% profit. Like life was good. Like we could have continued to keep the ball on the ground and keep cruising.
Right.
But I think, and it might've been this sort of fear of the birthday, like the birthday came, it was July 2019 and it was 50 by 50. So I set this goal, 50 by 50. I almost made it like a marketing mantra, right? And
you
then
did,
the difference is
and
I
you
told
50
people,
pounds, right?
50 pounds by my 50th birthday. And this was September 2018. So I had till July of 2019 to do it. And I told people, like I told my friends, I made myself accountable for it. 50 is a daunting number. And 1 pound at a time, breaking it down into little bitty bites. Like I surrounded myself with my friends who supported me. In fact, I had a daily Facebook accountability chat. Mm. I got help. I used a proven model and system in terms of having a coach and having weekly weigh-ins and knowing what I was eating. I tracked the heck out of it in terms of every day. What did I weigh? What did I eat? How many carbs? How many calories? And I actually ended up losing 71 instead of 50 by my birthday.
Blew right past
well,
the 50.
Well, the big aha is once 50 got there, it really wasn't as scary. I think it was this idea of, am I living my best life? And if no, what am I going to do about it? Once you get there, you're like, I'm grateful for every spin around the sun. You know, like, who am I to like make 50 a big deal? Really, like, I feel like I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
I have more energy. And I think I could have said, well, I've never lost weight and kept it off. Like, why would this time be different? Or I've never, you know, who goes back to school at age 49? Like, it could have been just, again, like, coast, keep coasting, find a retirement plan mm-hmm. and we could eke it out. But I just, you know, at some point you just put your foot down. You're like, not anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore.
And tell us about your empire, because your empire suffered a little bit. Right?
Sure. Yeah. My empire is, yeah, I have my empire, like it first started with my love for travel, right? Like I have a small but mighty team. I have 3 buyer's agents, a transaction coordinator, and a listing manager. I would get in my own way. Like mm-hmm. the more I actually got out of my business, and that might've been to go travel or do stuff, yes. the more I got out, the more they were empowered to really stay in their strength zone and do amazing things.
It's a good lesson for a lot of people listening.
It was huge. I mean, you know it's bad when your assistant literally delivers the monitor and the chair to your office, to your home office. He's like, you're thinking about working from home? Don't take this the wrong way. And he literally delivered my office to me. And he's like, you know, this might be great for all of us, right?
And one of the big lessons there, which was one of my biggest ahas a year or so ago, is when you say no to something, you're giving someone else the opportunity to say yes.
That's correct.
Right? And you saying no to certain things gave people in your organization an opportunity to say yes. And you create more opportunity in your empire when you're doing that, right?
Yeah. And it's a process, right? At the beginning, we checked in a lot. We synced a lot. We, you know,
Let's be honest, I had some trust issues.
But now we're to the point where whether I'm at MIT in Cambridge or I'm at on-site at the Ritz-Carlton or if I'm at my home office or if I'm on a plane, we're all so used to being in our strength zone that it doesn't matter where I am. So that took some trust.
And do you feel like the physicality of going to MIT forced you to get more comfortable with that? Because there was a period of time when you were at school that you physically couldn't intervene.
It helps when you're on an aluminum tube because there really is no signal. Yeah. You know, like you just, I mean, the world, these things are like bigger than you, right? But
right.
I think MIT helped. But prior to that, I think a lot of the changes happened just right before that. Mm. I think if it didn't, I may not have gone for it. But MIT helped because it really forces you to like say, like, what's the big picture? What's the strategic things that need to happen? What's the tactical? And do I need to be in the tactical? Do I do the tactical the
that
best?
Well.
No,
right.
I don't. I don't. So it forces you to, it's a great reminder of like, stop.
That's a really
what am
good
I doing?
Lesson too on right. asking like, where to Sarah loves strengths finders, you know, and it's like, am I in my strength zone? Am I doing what I naturally and easily and effortlessly do the best? And if I'm not, who can I create an opportunity for that can go do that, right?
Because our people see that. They're like, you know what? You're just not that good at it.
Yeah.
And you have control issues.
Yeah.
And you should just hand that over to me and I'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And you are right to some extent. When you're in class, you can't answer the phone. Yeah. You're just not available, right? Yeah. Like unless someone's hair's on fire, right? Like don't call me, like figure it out. And so that did force that next level of like, even if I was traveling or whatever, I was still always available.
Right.
And now it's like, I'm not, right? And the other thing is I kind of foolishly said, oh, I'm going to go to MIT, but I'm not really going to change anything. I love real estate.
We remember hearing
I just
that.
Want to like grow. The truth is like you can't not change, right? Yeah. Like you're just, it's like you see light. You can't unsee it, right? The models, the systems, the way you look at things, it really causes you to just think differently. And so all of a sudden I went to not change and next thing you know, I've changed my job. I've changed like my business and I'm definitely going to scale both areas, but it's just been really eye-opening.
So what's next for you?
So we talked about a little bit about the before. The after now is my biggest challenge is to, I'm a filler, like whatever bucket I have, I fill it, right? Mm-hmm. So let's call it 25 to 30 hours a week. The MIT thing. And I just kind of keep quiet about it because like no one in my family thought it was a great idea. So I can't complain. But when I get these 30 hours back, it's very easy to say yes to like whatever question comes up. Do you want to do this project? Do you want to work on this initiative? Do you want to join a board? And I'm not going to say yes. I'm going to enjoy that time and be really deliberate with how I spend it.
Can we write that
down?
Yeah,
please do. I know you guys have asked me about the mocha, so she's going to
commit to it.
And the other thing is I'm taking the health to the next level. I'm doing the New York City Marathon November 1st.
Awesome.
Yep.
Congratulations.
My husband and I are really excited about like the fact that we are empty nesters. It was rough. More him than me the first month. It was rough, but he's just loves the kids. I don't not love them, but he loves them. And now, like he texted me the other day, when do they go back to school? So like we're both on the same page and having fun. And we're just, you know, living your best life involves like doing the things you want to do. I have so many people that are like, oh, well, I'll go to Europe when I retire, or I will do this after this. Well, like, what happens if that wasn't in your cards? Like, you got to do it now.
Well, so we had an earlier episode and it was all about casting the vision and talking about your mission in life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious, do you have a mission statement for yourself? Do you know what that is, Sarita?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically to live my best life and empower everyone around me to do the same.
I love that.
Love that.
And I'm really excited. Even with school, we're doing an initiative. I'm really passionate about girls in STEM. I'm an engineer by trade, and so is my daughter. And I watch some of us nerdy girls kind of dampen our light a bit because it's. It used to not be that cool to be smart. It's definitely coming, you know, becoming in vogue now, which is great. But still giving everybody, men and women and boys and girls, the opportunity to learn great tools so that they can minimize the gap between what's required by the job force and what skills you graduated with. We're actually launching this in Kenya this month, in a couple of weeks. And we're going really to learn, but I just think that there's so much even on a global scale we can do and take back to like all of our communities.
I love that.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
Well, I personally, I don't really believe you that you're not going to fill those 25
hours. Yeah, me neither.
At least the first
few months, maybe.
But I do believe that you're probably going to make better choices about what you're filling it with. Mm-hmm. And so I think having a clear sense of your mission allows you to say yes to the things that are important to you and no to the things that don't mean as much, and all that tactical stuff that you've learned that you can pass off. You don't have to dig back into that.
Absolutely.
Right? And you can use your prodigious skills, right? As a leader, right? To make the world a better place. Yes. So I love that. Wow, what a lesson. Yeah. It's incredible.
Well, and I was listening to you guys talk about profit, right? And it's like you can have a very profitable business, but then if you're so profitable, you have to question, do you have the right leverage?
Yeah. Yes.
And then you can do the other extreme, right? Which is, I don't want to ever sell anything. I just want leverage, 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 which is awesome, but you then may not have profit.
Right.
And all of these things, there's no right answer, right? No. It's right for you.
It's what's right for you.
But when there is a bit of a speed bump and you know, whether it's a market shift or whether it's just something you didn't anticipate, that's when those decisions are really important. Mm-hmm. And then it helps you pivot, you know, depending on which way you went. So for me, I definitely know I am under leveraged because I favor profit, and to be able to get the right leverage, even at the expense of some profit, it's okay to go from 55% to 40%,
right? You know what though? You're buying your time back is really
exactly
what you're doing. Yes. When you go down in profit to that level, it's not that the money is just fleeting. We were talking about on the profit, right? If you're investing in people, those people will give you a better return anyways, and you're buying your time back.
Yeah.
Well, you have to give up control to the right person, though, in order to be able to do that, which is
what
the
do you want your
part.
Legacy to be.
Exactly. And I was able to share it with Gary, too. Like, leverage also gives you the chance to explore opportunities.
Exactly.
That if some amazing opportunities come
That's
up
right.
and you're not leveraged properly, you just have to say no because you
love that.
can't
pull
yourself
it.
Out.
Can't do it.
I think
can't
for me,
it.
I had such a big pivotal point in my business where you go from being a really amazing salesperson to like a business owner.
Yeah.
And a business can sustain without you for a period of time. And so it's like finding out what type of business you want to have and where your role fits in, and then creating the leverage around that to where at times you can step away, which I mean, that's what you've done, right? Through all of this, and focus on MIT and other things and see it grow.
Yeah. Well, and what I love is that everybody has the opportunity in their business to keep the jobs that they like.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
You know, as you guys, there's no right or wrong answer for what you do on a daily basis, except, you know, you have to keep your foot on the gas pedal in terms of growth.
Yes.
Right. And you have to keep your eye on the numbers, and you have to be a leader. But all the other tactical stuff that you're doing every day can be your choice.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
It could definitely be your choice.
If Sarita wants to go sell $4 or $6 million Brits condos, she'll do that.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm just a little jealous.
I know. I challenge you guys and myself. Like, we just are so addicted to these little devices, right? And like, when you say, like, what's going to happen and are you really going to say no? I think just, I challenge all of us to be present.
Yeah.
Right. It's very easy to like fill the bucket, like I said, and just to be present. You know, the topic today about like having it be never too late. I mean, the logical question ends up being, you know, do you have regrets? Do you wish you focused on your health earlier? Do you wish you maybe went to MIT when you were 35 or 40? Our average class age, our average age is 41.
Awesome.
Like, and the answer is I have no regrets, right? Like, it's just, it is never too late. And you are the sum of all your experiences. So instead of looking backwards going, well, I should have done it sooner.
I wish I would've just done it now.
Yeah.
Right? Just do it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a lot of people start their businesses much later in life. You know, I was 38 before I really found my mission and started my business.
Yeah.
And age is an attitude, right?
Yeah.
It says the 50-year-old.
I mean, it is. The youngest person I know is now 83.
Yeah.
And he could run circles around all of us.
Well, this has been awesome. A lot of gold nuggets for me. The biggest one that I heard you say is just when you get comfortable, that's when you should be afraid.
Yeah.
Right? Not afraid, but that means that you're not changing, you're not growing. You should never be in a position where, oh, everything, I get every listing, I get every person to join my team. I get, if you're doing that, that means you're not growing and you're not putting yourself in some uncomfortable position. Yeah. It's staying safe.
Exactly. And I love that you forced your decisions that you made forced you to make a change.
Yep.
Like, because you could have done an MBA locally, right? And that would have allowed you to still stay in your business in the level you run over there and still do your MBA, but you would have been cheating, right? You would have been cheating both sides.
Staying safe.
So by forcing drastic decisions in that way and the drastic health changes that you made, that really is allowing you to feel like you're just getting started.
Yes.
And that's so exciting.
And a quick word about health, right? Like, there's no right answer on like you should weigh X or Y or whatever.
Right.
I think for me, it was just it controlled me and I needed to take control again.
Yeah.
And that's what it really was about. It was just, I was in victim mode a lot of times and I had a lot of excuses, right? I was super busy and I had every reason to have the milkshake or whatever, but I just had to stop.
And I would just say, you know, how you said your production went up and your weight would go up. I would also say that I know your production has gone down a little bit while you've been doing all these other things and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's 100% okay.
Yeah.
And I give everybody permission out there to take control of their health because it is the most important thing.
Yeah.
You literally cannot live without your body.
You know, one thing before we wrap up today, one thing that you mentioned was with your health, you've always felt like you could gain weight and lose it and gain it again and lose it again. And this time it feels different for you.
It does.
Talk to me about that.
I'm still fearful. And so I think that fear drives me a little bit, but it does feel different because I just tell myself I didn't lose 71 pounds overnight. So if I like have a lot of pizza on the weekend, I'm not going to gain 71 pounds, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it's back to the model, right? I weigh myself daily. That's just me. I know sort of my allowances are my buffer and I trust the process, but I don't take it for granted, right? I still track and monitor and surround yourself with people that like really support your goals.
Mm-hmm. So you're making a daily decision, but you know, it's a journey. It's not the end all be all if you've got a day or two that are off.
Exactly. If you have a 4 or 5 pound range, you just know, like, I know what to do, right? I know I knew what to do for 71. I know what to do for 5.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just a good lesson for every aspect of your life. You know, we're going to wake up and it's not going to be a perfect day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to feel like you're in control of everything every single day. And that's not what life looks like.
And that's okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's just like everything else. Success looks different than most people think it is. It's repeatable activities done over time yields a big result.
Yeah, well, it's not super exciting, right? It can be boring.
Yeah.
You just have to stay on it.
Yeah.
And what this podcast is about is having a massive business, which you do, and then also at the same time, having an even bigger life.
Yeah.
Right. And I think health, choosing to follow your dreams and go to MIT, you know, the dream that you had is just part of that. And I think you've been such a special guest because you are proving
yes
that you can have a massive business at the same time have an even bigger life.
Yeah.
And you're doing it without sacrificing your kids' relationships. You're doing it without sacrificing your marriage. You are, I mean,
Seems like you're having a renaissance in your marriage. You really are. Media.
Seriously.
You're dating. Yeah, not just not sacrificing. It's like hashtag goals.
Yeah. I know. We're like, we want to be with you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Cash always has this big grin on him.
Yeah.
I know.
He's going to love that he was part of this podcast. Yeah.
he is such a big part of your life, though. And it's, we all feel like we get to be a part of your family and your relationship, though, because you are so inclusive and you're so intentional about how you stack those relationships up. And you don't do it at the sacrifice of the other dreams and goals that you have. And I really admire you for that, because I think a lot of us, like we were talking about before on an earlier episode where Wendy was talking about a woman that had come and was just bawling because she was saying yes to everything but her family, right? And her husband. And you don't do that. And it's really awesome to watch that you're building this massive life and it includes being very intentional about your relationship.
And I just want to remind everyone, some of the reasons I don't do that is there's many times where I did, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember what it felt like. Mm-hmm. I remember when my kids said, I wish I was one of your clients so then you could spend time with us, right? Like, you know, or, you know, or my husband like stopping really to save time on the weekend because he knew I was pretty much an 80, 90% chance of being a no-show for whatever plan we had. So there was some tough lessons that made me cherish it so much more.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we have to learn the hard way, like hopefully we all don't, but like I've been there when I did the bad things and it just, you have that
you don't want to go
trigger
back.
Moment Absolutely. Where you're like, I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. I'm done.
Well, and people don't have to learn the hard way if they continue to tune in to our podcast, Empire Building.
Now, before we go, Sri, you're such an inspiration. Where can people find you?
They can find me. My handle is AskSarita on Twitter and Instagram, and definitely friend me on Facebook. We're working on the whole 5,000 friend limit thing.
But yes.
I'm like everywhere, and just reach
and
out to me directly.
Any buyer and seller in Portland, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Happy to help. AskSarita to help you.
Portland metro area. Yes. Surrounding.
AskSarita.com, right?
Yes. Yeah. AskSarita.com.
That's awesome.
That's so great. Well, thank you for sharing with us today. This
thank
has
you
been
for having me. Such, an honor.
Such a treat.
Thank you.
And it's really never too late to be present, to live your best life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you, Sarita. And thank you for joining Empire Building with us today. Man, what an absolute pleasure, Sarita, to have you. And we hope you'll join us again next time.
Thanks for listening to Empire Building. If you like what you heard, join our tribe by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. And help us spread the word by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Until next time, wishing you a life worth living. And remember, you are an empire builder.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.